Changing Lives. This is the show that gives you the opportunity to tell the world what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life. Today, I have as my guest in the studio a very interesting young man. His name is Minister Daniel Hood. Now, before Jesus Christ changed Daniel's life, Daniel lived in the city of Detroit, and there he was a drug dealer just living a life of recklessness. And what happened with Daniel was that he was shot. He actually died, had a hell experience, and by that I mean he went into hell and experienced what it's like, and through that, God saved him, and praise God, he's back to tell us his story. So let's talk to Daniel and try to listen to his words and understand where he came from as a child and how Jesus Christ has come into his life and is leading him into bigger and better things.
Giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being here today, not just being here today, but being who I am today in Christ, because I really shouldn't be here today. But Christ has given me a second chance, and I've took advantage of that second chance. You know, before I start with the meat of my testimony, I like to start with the milk of it. You know, I was raised in church since I was a baby on up to 10, and my life started to change when my mother got with my stepfather. We didn't know that he was a murderer, and he had killed like two other women previous, you know,
and before meeting my mother.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't know this, but I always felt something strange about this guy, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I would tell my mother, but you know, she wouldn't listen to me. You know, because she was in love with the guy.
And, so you were telling your mother that something was wrong with this guy.
That something was wrong with him. Mm-hmm. And anyway, you know, it goes on, and they got married. And one day, he poisoned her. And my mother could have died, but like the Bible say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yeah.
And when she came out of the hospital, she didn't rehabilitate, you know, really as fast as we thought that she would.
Yeah.
And so we had me and my sister, we had to go from foster homes to group homes and different things like that. And that's when my life began to change. You know, I started experiencing things that I never experienced, because my mother didn't let us go out to parties, yeah, or birthdays. She always kept us in the Word and our minds, you know, rehabilitating the Word.
Yeah. So you had Christian upbringing, but then things,
yes,
started changing.
But my lifestyle started changing when I started, uh-huh, when I began to go from different foster homes and group homes, and you know, and my life started to change. I had to protect my sister,
yeah,
and watch after her. You know, I didn't know how to fight. I had to learn how to fight. And then I went from foster home to group home to juvenile to jail, and I started turning to this hardcore gangster.
Yeah.
And I started selling drugs and getting high and stuff like that, drinking and smoking weed. I never did do anything, you know, other than smoking weed and drinking, because everything else I sold. Yeah. And the number one rule of the dope man, don't get high off your own supply.
Yeah.
And so my life started to change, but the things I was going through, I still didn't feel happy. You know, after all the money that I had and the drugs, there was no happiness in my life.
Yeah.
I still was depressed at times and going through stuff, you know, that I didn't know why I was going through. I had totally forgot my spiritual upbringing and background. I had just totally forgot about God and how he had brought me up and what he had done for me.
Yeah. So you were selling drugs at this time, and you were making like a lot of money every
day? I was selling drugs. I was making money. You, yeah, know, I was buying things that I wanted, uh-huh, you know, and it was not happiness, yeah, you know, like you say, why gain the whole world and then lose your life?
Yeah.
But anyway, one night, I was about 17, 18, and I was invited to a party on Thanksgiving night, okay, 1987. Thanksgiving night, I was invited to a party. So, you know, I went to the party, and while I was at the party, I was set up. And I was put out of the party, and I left the party. And while I was walking out of the parking lot, I got shot 3 times, point-blank range. And right there where I lay down there on the ground, I was paralyzed instantly. And the ambulance came, And they took me to the hospital, and while I was in the hospital, it's like the doctor wanted me to die. He seen that I was a gangster, and it's like he was asking me, do you want me to cut your clothes off? And I'm sitting up here dying, he's asking me questions like this, like he really didn't care.
Yeah.
And so while I'm laying up there, man, he's asking me this question, I just went out. And I woke up in a dark tunnel, and I'm being escalated down this dark tunnel in my hospital bed. And on the sides of the tunnel, the walls are like, it's darkness. It's just darkness on top of darkness, and the walls are like spandex. Mm-hmm. And on the sides of the wall, you can see the faces, the forms of their faces, you know, in the wall. You can see the torture and the anxiety and the torture that they're going through. Hell is around the tunnel. But see, God was taking me through the tunnel, and I'm seeing the size of the tunnel as I'm being escalated down the tunnel slowly in my hospital bed, and I'm seeing these faces, you know, the torture that they're going through, and the anxiety, if they can say, don't come here, you know, and I'm just feeling emptiness, you know, and this fear inside of myself, like, where am I at?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like I came back, and you know, I was in intensive care, and I don't remember, you know, what went on, you know, intensive care, because I was, like, out of it, but I remember...
When you were in hell, did you think that you were dead, or did you think you were dreaming, or you knew you was out of your body?
I knew that I was out of my body because it was the way that I woke up.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like the way that I woke up. It was not a dream.
Yeah.
You know, because a dream, you know, it's something when you wake up, you know, it's a dream.
Yeah.
And this was something that I knew it wasn't a dream because I woke up, like I woke up. This morning, you know, it was real. It was reality to me. It was real. That's what changed my life because I knew this was real.
Yeah.
And when I woke up in this tunnel, I knew it was real. I knew it was real. I mean, I felt whole. I feel like I feel right now. I feel whole. I feel whole.
Yeah.
You know, I felt that this was real. You know, you know, I felt it, man. This is real. This is not nothing. You know, this is not a dream. But this is real. This is reality.
That hell was a reality.
And like, if God wanted me to be in hell, that's how I would have felt in hell.
Yeah.
You know, or for eternity, that's how I would have felt. I would have been that alert.
Yeah.
You know, and when I came back alive, you know, I went to intensive care, and then when I rehabilitated, they took me to the regular floor, and that's when the nurse came to my room, and I sat up in the bed one day talking to my roommate, and so a nurse came in the room, and she's reading my name in obituaries, and I'm like laughing at her, you know, like, what do you mean?
Your name was already printed in the
obituaries? Yeah, printed in the obituaries, so I'm laughing at her, like, what do you mean I'm dead? I'm sitting right here, you know? So, you know, I'm still living in the natural, so I'm like laughing at her. See, the devil didn't want me to believe that I had died.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here laughing at her, you know, and so I get out of the hospital, and so my mother, my auntie, and my grandmother tell me, Daniel, when we got there, you died. The doctors told me that you was dead. They said, we identified you. They pulled you out of the closet, and you was tagged, you know, and we identified you. So the first thing my grandmother seen in my foot was the hole, because when they shot me, when I fell, my legs was like a chair. I was instantly paralyzed. When the guys drove by in the car, they shot me in the foot, and the bullet went straight through my foot. It was the size of a half a dollar. That was the first thing she seen when they pulled me out of there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't believe that. I thought they was just telling me this stuff to get me off the street. So, you know, I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I started going back out there in the wheelchair. You know, the first thing I did, you know, I got my check, went out and got an 8-ball, a 9mm, got right back into the dope game, you know. Didn't nothing change. You know, through all that, I still didn't change. And I got right back out there and started doing the same thing that got me in the situation that I was in. And I started, you know, just selling dope and this and that. And I started experiencing pain that I never experienced before. So I started, you know, taking medication and taking more than what I should take, you know, because of the pain. And I started overdosing on medication and just drinking heavily and smoking weed and different things like that. And, you know, it's just got to the point, man, where, you know, I just couldn't accept myself in a wheelchair, you know, compared to the point, man, where, you know, I just couldn't accept myself in a wheelchair, you know, compared to the way that I used to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always was intoxicated or out of my mind because I felt whole. I couldn't relate to my condition when I wasn't, you know, yeah. in my right mind. When I was high, I didn't feel myself. You know, I felt whole. I felt normal.
Yeah, so you start getting high a lot.
I started getting high a lot, and I started overdosing on medication and trying to commit suicide to escape the life that I was living, because you know I couldn't accept it, and you know I was going to the hospital so many times for suicide that you know that they were saying could he be dead and don't know it, because a normal person that should have been dead, you know, but should have been dead going through the stuff that I went through trying to commit suicide.
Right. So you know, tried to commit suicide more than once.
Oh, numerous amounts of times, man. You know, I even got confused that I couldn't kill myself, that the things that I attempted to do to try to leave the pain that I was going through. Mm-hmm. But you see, God had a calling on my life. Yeah. And see, if God have a calling, like, that's something that you can't escape.
Yeah.
You know, like Romans, like Ephesians 2 and 10 said, I was ordained, I was predestined to be who I am today. Mm-hmm. And see, I couldn't escape that. You know, even though I'm in a chair, you know, I don't feel as I felt before. I feel peace in myself. I feel happiness. I feel joy, you know, because in my weakness, I'm made strong through Christ. Yeah. I'm an example to people.
Yeah.
And I still didn't believe that I had died, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, I was laying up in the bed. Mm-hmm. And so the Spirit told me I heard the Spirit say, open your Bible to Psalms 40. And I opened my Bible, and the Scripture said, I tucked you out of a deep and horrible pit. Mm-hmm. Meaning hell.
You know, that's the interesting part I wanted you to get to. But we're going to take a break right now.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll finish up this story and we'll tell everybody how Jesus Christ came in and really took you from that area into this great area that you are right now, Mister.
Amen.
We'll be right back.
And truly, and I woke up, man, and I got up. Uh-huh. I start calling everybody up I knew and telling them this, man, you know, because Satan didn't want me to believe this.
Yeah.
But see, God wanted me to acknowledge this and to believe this, to show me, you know, that this was real, that this really had happened, that my lifestyle would change.
That he pulled you out of here.
Right. And so when I really realized this had happened, man, I was visualized when my mother told me this and the nurse told me, and it was all, you know, making sense to me.
Yeah.
So right then my life started changing. I started going out doing street ministry, witnessing to people on the streets, you know, anywhere, you know, and my godmother was telling me that you're not strong enough to do that.
Yeah.
But see, God will make a way. I know where for you to do what he has called you to do.
Yeah.
So I went to the store, man. I got papers, and I started writing down the sinner's prayer.
Yeah.
You know, how to be saved. And all the sinner's prayer, the sinner's prayer really talks about how to become saved, confessing your sins before Christ, acknowledge that you are a sinner.
Yeah.
And accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And say, I'll write all this stuff down. And I would pray over it.
Yeah.
And write my number down and pass it out to gang members, to homeless people.
Uh-huh.
So they can call me up, you know.
And
I can talk to them and pray for them.
Yeah, and accept Jesus
And
Christ.
Accept Jesus.
Yeah.
And see, you know, I felt what Jesus had done for me. And I wanted other people to feel God's love.
Yeah.
And I was so excited about going out there and showing people and showing them that there's a way. You know, out of what you're going through, whether it be drugs or alcohol or weed or sex or homosexuality or whatever you're going through that you shouldn't be doing, that there's a way out of that, out of that bondage.
That God could bring you out of
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, immediately, man, I felt peace when I gave my life to Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I had authority over the pain that I was going through.
Yeah.
You know, it was a change. It was a different. You know, it was a different self-esteem that I had about myself. You know, I totally changed.
Yeah. Now, you know, a lot of people that are in wheelchairs, sometimes you see and people feel sorry for them and they look sad or, you know, but
right.
I know you. You know what I mean? We're friends,
right,
Daniel.
Right,
so when I see you, you always have a smile on your face. You always got a joke.
Crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that inner peace that you have, even though you're in the circumstance of being in a wheelchair, you have a peace of God in your life.
Yes.
The Lord bless you with a beautiful place to live.
Yes.
Tell us how you got that beautiful apartment that you live in now.
Okay, like I said, I was in a convalescent home 5 years, and I went there because I had a bad bed sore.
Yeah.
And my bed sore was so deep that you can put your fist through there. It was so that deep.
Yeah.
And when Christ came into my life, man, you know, it's like he put me in my right mind, man. You know, he gave me a mind to want to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking care of myself, doing what I had to do to heal myself.
Yeah.
So my sore began to heal. You know, my worker was telling me that now we got to begin to find you a place to stay. So I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't have no family out here or nobody to go to.
Right.
You know, to stay with till I can get on my own feet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was stressing about this, and the scriptures say, you know, in Proverbs, if God is directing your way, don't stop along the way and figure out what's going on. Just keep believing it, and God will see you through.
Right.
And so I stopped worrying about it.
Yeah.
I just stopped worrying about it. So I'm not going to worry about it.
Mm.
So, you know, I was engaged to my fiance, and I invited her to church one Sunday, and she had changed her mind.
Yeah.
And I really didn't want to go because I was so, you know, energetic, and I had so inspiration. I was so, you know, inspired
by Jesus
on having her going.
Yeah.
That when she said no, did I just change my mind? I didn't want to go, but the Spirit said go.
Yeah.
So obedience is better than sacrifice. So I went, and so I met this this girl that was in a wheelchair, like I am, and I met her going. She didn't say nothing to me going, but on the way coming back, she was asking me my name and where I stayed at and this and that.
Yeah.
And I said, I stay on 9th in Atlantic.
Yeah.
And it's like the Spirit had me say, but I put in for application on 4th and M.
Yeah.
And so immediately the girl said, I know the manager that stay over there. And if you give me your name, your number, I'll put in a good word for you.
Yeah.
So the following week, I got a phone call.
Yeah.
And the phone call said, we want to interview you. Can you come in for the apartment?
Yeah.
So I said, I can be there tomorrow or whenever. So I came the next day after that, and the lady seen me, and she said, we are sorry, but we have lost your application.
Yeah.
And this was 2 years I had pulling for application.
Uh-huh.
But you see, God had set me free from bondage.
Yeah.
And see, God can unlock doors that no man can unlock.
Yeah.
And God was opening doors for me, man.
Yeah.
And see, God had opened the door for me to get this apartment. And immediately when the lady seen me, she seen God in me, Christ in me.
Yeah.
And she got me in there right away. And so I have a 2-bedroom apartment. All I pay is $145 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see, God opened that up for me.
Yeah.
You know, God give me the desire. God give you the desires of your heart. Not me, but whosoever.
Yeah.
You know, and God knew what I wanted and what I needed.
Yeah.
And he gave that to me.
Yeah, and you know, people think 145, you must be have a little bit, but it's a huge place.
It's a
beautiful
place.
It's
a huge
and
place.
God blessed you with that, you know. And
yes,
so
sir.
God has established you and given you a better life, you know. And that's that abundant life that Jesus was talking about.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
One of the things I want to do is give our audience, you know, to let them know that if you're going through something, you know, that is traumatic in your life, and that and you think that there's just no way out, Daniel's story is to let you know that you can change your life, that God can bless your life, and that you can have the abundant life that God really wants you to have. And that abundant life comes through Jesus Christ, you know.
Yes.
And brother Daniel Hood here, he's a minister now. He's a young minister. And most of us, you know, that hang out together. I'm a good friend of Daniel. We are young, born again Christians, strong young black men who love God, you know, love our wives, love our families, and we just want to inject that into our community and let people know that Jesus Christ does change lives and that you can have a better life in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You agree?
Yes. And see, as Christians, we are disciples.
Yeah.
You know, and to worldly illustrate this, you know, to use as a worldly parable, it's like we are like nurses,
yeah,
directing them to the doctor, and the doctor is God.
Yeah.
We're passing out prescriptions, mm-hmm, but God is fulfilling that prescription. And see, what a lot of people need that's out there in the world, that's in sin and going through stuff, that's in bondage, whatever you may be going through, you need a spiritual injection,
yeah,
from Christ.
Right.
And see, when I got that spiritual injection from God, I didn't no longer need to keep going to the doctor for refills and medication. I no longer need to take a drink of a beer or, yeah, alcohol to 40 ounces and weed and stuff like that, because I, yeah, had a natural high.
Yeah.
I was being naturally motivated by the Holy Spirit, you
praise
know.
God.
I was feeling peace and joy.
Yeah.
And see, if anybody out there is lost and is going through anything out there today, you know, I'm here to tell you, know, that there's a way, there's a way out of what you're going through. Romans 10 and 9 say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess man to salvation.
All right.
So we had to confess our sins.
Yeah.
We had to confess our sins to Christ, and we had to acknowledge and admit that we are sinners before God could come into our lives. You know, that because Christ didn't only die, but he rose early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but to him have eternal life. And I'm living witness, yeah, here today that if you believe in him, you should not perish, but through him have eternal life.
All right. Well, that's it, you know, and that's what the show is all about, that you can have a better life through Jesus Christ. And we just want to thank you for joining us today and listening to Brother Daniel's, what we call a testimony from my childhood church days. And we just want to say thank you for joining us. And until the next time, I'm Big Sandy, and Jesus Christ is changing lives.